Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. So sit back with your cup of coffee, your muffin, or whatever you're having for breakfast and enjoy the show. Today we're going to be talking about the fiscal cliff. It's rapidly approaching us. But before I do, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor, Odin Feldman and Pittleman, law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire DC metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you can get audio, video, and articles of interest in tax, estate planning, and business planning. But today, it's all about the fiscal cliff. We're in November, and we're fast approaching the end of the year when we hit this cliff. It is a term that refers to the effect of a number of laws, which, if they go unchanged, could result in massive tax increases, spending cuts, and a corresponding reduction in the budget deficit, which some argue, and the Congressional Budget Office agrees, could significantly reduce economic growth beginning in 2013. The laws include tax increases due to the expiration of the so-called Bush tax cuts that were enacted in 2001 and 2003, and across-the-board spending cuts, commonly referred to as sequestration, that was enacted under the Budget Control Act of 2011. The year-over-year changes for fiscal years 2012 and 2013 include a 20% increase in tax revenue and only a 0.25% reduction in spending. So it's really the tax increases that are going to have the biggest economic impact on our economy in the United States. Some major domestic programs like Social Security, federal pensions, and veterans benefits are exempted from the spending cuts. These are known as entitlements. Spending for federal agencies and cabinet departments, including defense, would be reduced through the across-the-board cuts. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, reports an increased risk of recession in 2013 if the deficit is reduced suddenly, while indicating that lower deficits and debt over time will improve long-term economic growth. Well, that's just logical. If we can reduce our debt load, then we'll have a better performing economy in the long run. The deficit for 2013 is projected to be reduced by roughly half. The cumulative deficit over the next 10 years is expected to be lowered by as much as $7.1 trillion, or 70%. The Budget Control Act of 2011 was passed in a very partisan political stalemate. Democrats and Republicans couldn't agree on how to reduce the deficit, and it was thought that the blunt cuts of budget sequestration and sharp revenue increases would be mutually undesirable to both parties. So, that provides the reason and the deadline to bring both sides together to solve the deficit problem. The projected effects of these changes have led to calls both inside and outside of Congress to extend some or all of the tax cuts. As you've heard most recently, the president wants to extend the tax cuts for all but those making over $250,000 a year. They also want to replace the across-the-board sequestration or cuts with more targeted cutbacks. Many have speculated that any change is unlikely to come until the very end of this year in the lame duck session that is already convening right now. Additionally, the debate may be exacerbated, made worse, by the expectation that the debt ceiling is expected to be reached before the end of 2012, unless quote-unquote extraordinary measures are used. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us. Who came up with this term, the fiscal cliff? Well, it was the Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke in February of this year who was the first person to use the fiscal cliff analogy or statement. He was testifying before the House Financial Services Committee, and he described that a massive fiscal cliff, excuse me, of large spending cuts and tax increases would take place on January 1, 2013. Now, a little bit of history. Back in 2010, if you recall, at the end of the year, December 17th to be exact, Congress passed the Tax Relief Unemployment Insurance Reauthorization and Job Creation Act of 2010. A lot of words to describe an act that extended the Bush tax cuts for an additional 2 years and patched exemptions in the alternative minimum tax only for 2011. I repeat, only for 2011 was the AMT fixed. The AMT, the alternative minimum tax, will apply in 2012 unless they fix it before the end of this year. They expect an additional 28 million Americans, including many middle-class Americans, to be subject to this minimum tax. The act, the 2010 act, also authorized a one-year reduction in Social Security taxes from 6.2% down to 4.2%. That was extended in 2012, earlier this year. So one of the taxes that is going to come into effect on January 1 is a tax that we had lived with for many, many years, the FICA tax, and that will go back up to 6.2%. Many do not expect Congress to change that from coming back into effect. Back in August of 2011, the Budget Control Act was passed. It was part of an agreement to resolve the debt ceiling crisis. And of course, if you remember, it led to the downgrading of our debt in the United States. The act provided for a joint select committee on deficit reduction, the so-called super committee, which we've heard so much about. They were tasked with producing legislation by November of 2011 that would have decreased the deficit by $1.2 trillion over 10 years. Under the law, if the committee failed to do so, as in fact it has failed to do, another part of the act directed automatic sequestration, across-the-board cuts, split evenly between defense and domestic spending, beginning on January 2, 2013. Also, the Affordable Health Care Act imposed many new taxes on families that are making more than $250,000 a year, or $200,000 for individuals, including the 3.8% net investment income tax that gets tacked on to the highest tax rate of 39.6%, raising taxes to as high a rate as 43.4% just for federal purposes alone. Now remember, this patch to the AMT exemptions expired at the end of 2011. Technically, the AMT thresholds immediately reverted back to what they were in 2000, a drop of 26% for single people and 40% for married couples. Anyone over these reduced exemption thresholds at the end of 2012 will be subject to the AMT unless they fix it before the end of this year. Now, the current laws that are leading to the fiscal cliff that we're about to fall off of are the following. Number one, expiration of Obama's tax cuts that were provided for in the 2010 Tax Relief Act. Number two, sequestration under the Budget Control Act of 2011. Number three, reversion of the AMT tax thresholds to their 2000 tax year levels. Number four, expirations of measures that delay Medicare sustainable growth rate from going into effect, the so-called doc fix, most recently extended in 2012, meaning that Medicare payments to doctors will drop dramatically on January the 1st. Next, expiration of the 2% Social Security payroll tax cut. These are all the things that I've mentioned, which will expire on January the 1st. Also, expiration of federal unemployment benefits, most recently extended earlier this year in the 2012 Act. And finally, new taxes that are imposed under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and the Health Care and Education Reconciliation Act, the Obamacare provisions of 2010. Without new laws, without new legislation, these provisions automatically go into effect on January 1 or January 2nd of 2013, except for the AMT, which automatically is in effect now. Some provisions will increase taxes. For example, the expiration of the Bush and FICA payroll taxes and the new Affordable Care taxes and AMT thresholds are expected to raise over $607 billion in 2013 alone. Others will reduce spending, sequestration, expiration of unemployment benefits, etc. Proposals to avoid the fiscal cliff include repealing legislation that contains certain of these provisions or passing new laws to extend provisions that are due to expire. Different proposals may include changes to some or all of the above provisions. For example, the CBO's alternative fiscal scenario in their budget analysis includes only the items that I first listed, including the expiration of the Obama tax cuts, across-the-board spending cuts, AMT the patch remaining at the low levels, and expiration of the Medicare payments. So there are some that are debating right now whether or not to allow for the Bush tax cuts to continue. The Republicans, of course, have said that they don't want any tax cuts to expire. They want all of the Bush tax cuts to remain in effect, including those on the wealthy. Interestingly, though, and keep this in mind, about 80% of those taxes are paid by people making more than $250,000 a year. So it's the quote-unquote wealthy that will bear the burden of this failure to extend the Bush tax cuts if President Obama has his way. Stay tuned for future radio shows where we'll talk about the fiscal cliff, how close we are to falling off it, or whether or not Congress and the president can rescue us. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.